This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Special Counsel Jack Smith saying in his final report that was released overnight investigating soon-to-be president again Donald Trump, that Trump would have been convicted if the voters had not returned Trump to the White House. And further, says ABC's Richard Cantu,
Smith reiterates that he wouldn't have brought the case if he didn't think he'd win a conviction. In a letter accompanying the report, Smith calls laughable Trump's baseless attacks on the federal prosecutors who brought two criminal cases against him.
Smith says the evidence shows that Trump used lies as a weapon in his attempt to overturn the 2020 election. The president-elect, in an overnight social media post, calls Jack Smith a, quote, lame brain. Santa Ana winds are kicking up again in Southern California. Additional water tankers and scores of fresh firefighters have arrived in the Los Angeles area to help out with the wildfires. The Los Angeles Rams winning their playoff game against the Vikings last night in a game that had to be moved because of the flames. This is ABC News. Drivers might not be thrilled about it, but New York City officials are saying it does look like congestion pricing has been cutting traffic in lower Manhattan. Juliet Michelson is with the MTA.
The program is working. It looks like it's working. It feels like it's working. The greatest improvements are occurring on inbound river crossings. The effect is particularly pronounced in the morning commute.
44,000 fewer cars and trucks are going into the congestion pricing zone every day. No more just hanging out at Starbucks. You're going to have to buy something from now on. The coffee chain this month rolling out new rules saying that the shops, patios, and restrooms are for customers and employees only. A new bid to buy InfoWars, a company linked to conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, is now doubling its bid to buy the platform that Jones built. The sale, part of the bankruptcy order against Jones to pay what he owes to families of Sandy Hook victims after he called that massacre a hoax. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Badgers could make history tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team has been around since 1898. And in that time, only three head coaches, Bud Forrester, Doc Meanwell, and Bull Ryan, had 200 or more career victories. If the Badgers beat Ohio State tonight at the Kohl Center, head coach Greg Gard would become the fourth. Gard's overall record stands at 199 and 110. Just one win away from 200, the Badgers are back in the top 25, ranked 24th in the nation. In the NFL, the Minnesota Vikings eliminated from the playoffs after losing to the Rams 27-9 on Monday Night Football. In Green Bay, a frustrated Tucker Kraft was asked what will he remember about this Packers season as he cleaned out his locker.
We couldn't finish. That's what I think of this team. We're all sitting in here in this locker room with frowns on our faces, people packing their shit up, ready to go home. Yeah. People talking about the offseason vacations, and we should be getting ready to play the next game in the postseason. That's my opinion on it.
That's Packers tight end Tucker Kraft with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's one thing not to advance in a nationally televised singing competition show. It's another thing to storm off when you're eliminated. And it's still another thing to do it dressed as a toad. Macy Gray is a Grammy-winning artist. On The Masked Singer, where her identity was concealed, she was referred to as Toad in a Hole, also known as a disgusting name for a breakfast plate. Gray eventually came back for the Q&A, where she said, "You know, I've been singing for a long time, and now I'm a toad." Ouch. At least she got paid. Timothy Chalamet will not only host Saturday Night Live in January, he will also be the musical guest. SNL announced the actor will make his third appearance as host January 25th. In addition to receiving rave reviews for his acting in the Bob Dylan biopic A Complete Unknown, the actor has also been lauded for his singing. Chalamet says he spent 5 years preparing for the role, which included singing lessons, and was adamant about not lip-syncing. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is cold out there this morning with a wind chill hovering around minus 20, and we're going to keep that wind chill either side of zero for a good chunk of the day today. Sunshine, our actual high 13 today. Tonight, mostly clear, 2 above tomorrow, mostly sunny and warmer with a high near 25. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 1 above.
Earl Ingram.
Join me on the next show. Sandy Williams will be here to talk about what to expect from the Trump administration with the inauguration less than a week away.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who prefers to travel by catapult, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. We are kicking off hour number two here. Great to have you with me on this Monday night here in the great state of Wisconsin. Wherever you are listening from, welcome, welcome. Tomorrow night we have nutritionist Sherry Stoka on the show. She owns Wellness MD in Milwaukee and the rock band. We're going to rock tomorrow night, Conrad. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah. I am so ready.
Ask Your Mother. Eric Rathsack and Adam Krause from Ask Your Mother will be here in the studio, and there will be rock. So we'll check in with Sherry and see how people are doing with their New Year's resolution too. I'm also going to hit the street this week, folks, and ask people about their resolutions and see how that's going. So we'll cut that together too this week. That'll be fun. And then on Wednesday, Anders Lindell, the director of the film Green and Gold, starring, tell me his name again, Conrad.
Craig T. Nelson?
Well, Craig T. Nelson, but the big movie star is Brandon, I can never think of it, it's Skennel, I think. He's in 1923, and he's like in the top 10 on IMDb Pro. This guy's huge. And Anders, a kid from the UP Done Good, got him in his movie. So it's opening wide January 31st. We'll talk to Anders on Wednesday night. So right now, we have a few more minutes with our current guest, Jordan Tresky. He wrote a book called Building the Milwaukee Bucks, which you can pre-order now on Amazon. So we have a texter, Jordan, that says... Oh, I lost my text. Bear with me here. Please ask your guest about the Bucks trading Jrue Holiday to the Boston Celtics. He was one of my favorite players. I was so mad when they traded him. Are you behind that, Jordan? Should we direct anger at you?
I'm not. Okay. You don't need to direct your anger at me. But not to be, you know, this person, but Bucks didn't technically trade Jrue Holiday to the Celtics. They traded him to the Blazers, and then the Celtics were like, that's a good player. We're going to trade for him. So that was more of it than anything. But yeah, it's definitely, you know, the plan to trade for Damian Lillard and hopefully it working out and creating kind of like, you know, extending this era of contending for a championship has been tougher than I think they could have imagined.
It's a hard thing to do. It's hard to repeat. I mean, and it's hard to stay relevant. I mean, we have another texter here I want to get to from the 414. This is John, who's actually from Portland, Oregon. He says, hey, Pete, great show. First time, long time. My favorite superhero is Moon Knight. Who's that, Conrad? Do you know that guy?
Yeah, that's a great TV show if you haven't seen it. Yeah.
Oh, nice. All right. He says, can you ask Jordan if he's ever had the pleasure of interviewing a coach, and if so, who is his favorite?
I have had the pleasure of interviewing a coach. His name is Mike Dunlap. He was like assistant coach for the Bucks when they won the title. And then... I think he was there for like three seasons. Basically, he left when Mike Budenholzer got fired. So, but yeah, it was quite the thrill to talk to him. A very unique guy and just a like crazy journey of coaching all around the world. And then he is kind of like this veteran coach that has seen everything, came to Milwaukee, and it kind of helped give them a little bit of a lift, I think, from a coaching side that, you know, they needed to get over the hump.
That's great. Jordan, so how important was the first championship they won in 1971 after just 3 years? And how important was the 2021 team's championship? Are there parallels there?
I think obviously 50 is such a big round number that you want to see parallels. I mean, part of it is just who are the two biggest and most important players in the franchise? It's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and it's Giannis Antetokounmpo. Those are obviously forever linked, being number 33 in Kareem's case and being number 34 in Giannis's case. They're always kind of symbolically right there next to each other. But, you know, I think part of it is that the Bucks won it so quickly in 3 years. And that was the standard that they had to meet for a very long time. Even when Kareem left, they eventually were very good. They met up against the Celtics in the East and lost to the 76ers many times throughout the 80s, but they're still in the hunt. And then things just fell off pretty badly there for many years. So when they got really good again, and Giannis is starting to become, you know, a breakout guy, and then he turns into an MVP player. Like, I think a lot of it's not a perfect like for like comparison, but the fact that someone like Giannis, who was this teenager when he comes to Milwaukee and then just grows into something bigger and better than anybody could have imagined. He has a lot of traits that I would say Kareem had at the time, but Kareem was just so much more polished when he comes to the NBA versus Giannis had it needed a few years to kind of reach that level.
I think that was part of Giannis's charm though, right? Like, he was this kind of this kid, but he was so likable. Very different than Kareem, who was more, like you said earlier, aloof. When I moved to Wisconsin, I was 12 years old, and I remember they had this great team. They had Sidney Moncrief and Marcus Johnson, and I felt like I didn't know about them because of the Packers. Like, that was a great Bucks team. Do the Packers tend to overshadow the Bucks and or Brewers at times? I feel like the Bucks should have more of their swag out there and be a team people find. Do you think that?
I think you're hitting on that kind of sentiment. Even when the Packers, I mean, during that time, the Packers were very bad. You know, right. they won throughout the 60s, sorry. And then Vince Lombardi leaves or he resigns. And then it just starts off like 25 years of just, I think they had one or two playoff appearances within that time frame. But it's because it's the Packers. They created this example of mattering so much throughout the state. That even with a team like the Bucks, who, again, I think part of it is that NFL was so established at the time versus the NBA had to really fight their way to really matter in a national perspective, that even when the Bucks won the title and they're content, you know, trying to get back to that point, people are still looking at the Packers as like, well, they'll eventually get back there. And it took a long time for them to do that, even when the Bucks were winning 50 to 60 games and Don Nelson's like, kind of viewed as this guy that's keeping it going and the machine going. So yeah, I think, you know, when I started writing about the Bucks, I think the thing was always just like Bucks season starts when Packers season ends. Right. And the Bucks have made it now kind of like they're trying to get on even footing, but it's still the NFL is such a behemoth. And I think the Packers are a big reason why.
Do you have a favorite Wisconsin sports team? Is it the Bucks? You seem to do most of your work. It's Bucks related, but
Bucks are definitely like the one that I've talked and written about the most. The Packers are more newer, but I definitely have followed football longer. Like, that's my earliest sports memories are watching like the Packers win the Super Bowl in 97 and being like 5 years old and just be like, what is the Super Bowl? so that was more of that. But yeah, it's kind of like a two halves of like a something that just feels very familiar to me, I would say.
My guest is Jordan Tresky, the author of Building the Milwaukee Bucks. You can also check out his Packer-related podcast, Packers GSPN, Talk of the Tundra, on Twitter or X. You have a let's get a prediction before we let you go, Jordan. Where will the Bucks finish this year? How do you like their chances?
Oh, they're trying to get into that home court range, so the top four in the East, but
that would be amazing after how they started, right? I mean, if they could land.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
the fact that they're where they are right now after being, what, I think like 2-8 at one point, like through the first 10 games, like it's still that's we're it's a lot better, but I think, you know, they just got walloped by the Knicks by like 34 points.
Yeah.
Celtics, the Cavs are, you know, they just lost yesterday, but they're 31-5. It's going to be tough to crack in there. So I think kind of that 5-6 range where they're sure to make the playoffs, but they'll have a tough road to climb to kind of, you know, break this 2-year drought of not winning a playoff series, I would say.
All right, before we let you go, our question of the night is favorite superhero movie. I think you could take 30 seconds, Jordan, and forget about the Bucks. tell us your favorite superhero movie if you have one.
I would say The Dark Knight. I think that it's a movie like that experience of watching it for the first time is like up there. And it's kind of one of those movies where if you know, I guess cable is, it's a fading medium, but if you see it on cable or if you're, you know, it's halfway through the movie and you just like follow along, like you can just kind of pick it up instantly. It's kind of one of those movies where whether you watch it from start to finish or you pick it up midway through, that you're always going to be sucked into it kind of thing.
That's a great answer. And that's the first time we've heard The Dark Knight on this program.
Really?
Anyway.
Wow.
Tonight. Yeah. Because most people, well, I said Batman Begins, but a lot of people say The Dark Knight is a better film, and maybe it is. I just like watching how he becomes Batman. So that was a really that's a great answer. And I love those films, too, that you find where, Conrad, we need to do this as a question, too. What's one of those TV movies? Like when you're in a hotel, and it's like, I can watch this movie anytime I want, and I can stream it commercial-free, but it's on TV right now, I'm going to watch it, and I'm not going to turn it off. I don't know why we do that to ourselves. So
I don't know, there's just something about like it being picked, and then just like, oh, this is already on. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to change the dial, the channel, or anything like that.
It's just like a little treasure. It's like a little find. Hey, Jordan, thanks so much for your time tonight. Best of luck with the book. Keep us posted. It's called Building the Milwaukee Bucks. You can pre-order it on Amazon right now. Check out Jordan's Frozen Talk of the Tundra podcast on X as well. Thanks so much for your time tonight, buddy. It's great to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me. This is great.
All right. See you on Blue Sky. All right. That's Jordan Tresky, Wisconsin sports fan. Conrad, he might rival you as a Wisconsin sports fan.
That's some good competition right there.
It is. I think your Phoenix Suns thing brings you down. So yeah, he's got you in the NBA.
Might bring me down a little bit.
Tom from the 414, in answer to our question, what is your favorite superhero movie? Tom didn't. He went superhero, and I love his pick. He says Super Dave Osborne is my pick. Love Super Dave. He also played Marty Funkhauser in on Curb Your Enthusiasm. And most of his stuff, we couldn't even clip a Marty Funkhauser clip. It would just be beeps the whole time, so we can't ever use that. Tom says, not a movie. Oh, he clarified. He says, not a movie, but funny. Totally agree, Tom. Thanks for the text. And then, do we have time for Julia Louis?
We have about a minute left.
All right, we can't do that. Julia Louis-Dreyfus turns 64 today. She looks like she's in her late 30s. I cannot believe she's in her 60s. So we have a clip, one of my favorite clips from Seinfeld, featuring Julia Louis. If we can get to that later, we will. But keep those texts coming, folks. We've had some great answers. Picked up some new texters tonight, too. Have you noticed that, Conrad?
Yeah.
Are you making a memo?
I'm making.
Are you taking a note?
We'll just do superhero questions every night.
Well, I don't know if we will. join the fun, folks. What is your favorite superhero movie? That's our question of the night. Great to have you with me on this. Is it Monday already? God, this week is flying by. All right. We'll be back with Victoria Davis from the Capital Times in Madison. This is Pete Schwab at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. As we approach the 15th anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court's Citizens United decision, we consider the estimated $15.9 billion spent in the 2024 campaign. While still tallying up the total, Money and Politics watchdog Open Secrets estimates the 2024 election cycle was the costliest ever, surpassing 2020's $15.1 billion. For context, the $15.9 billion estimate is larger than the state budgets of New Hampshire, Vermont, and Idaho combined. Only 24% of political contributions to candidates were small donations of $200 or less, down from 30% in 2020. When you consider contributions to PACs and other outside spending, that percentage drops further with only 16% from small donors. The top 1% of donors, they contributed an estimated 50% of all political contributions. That means by far, our elections are not funded by citizens who actually vote, but by wealthy special interests and corporations whose interests may not align with the majority of voters. Open Secrets projects that outside spending alone, mostly by super PACs, will reach $5 billion. Now that the election is over, it's the inaugural fund setting records. The New York Times reports that donors to the Trump inaugural have contributed over $170 million. More on that tomorrow. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know. Now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
My buddy Dave, who refuses to text the show on the actual text line, sent me a text and said, Superman 2. You know, I don't think that was as good as Superman 1, the Christopher Reeve late 70s movie, but there were some great scenes in there, and there were some really good bad guys in that film. I think it was Zod, and he had two compadres with him that were just, like, really good villains. That's good, Dave, and thank you for not texting the show. The last thing we would want is more actual texters to show up on the text line. All right, so I'm excited to welcome my next guest. She is an award-winning freelance journalist. She also does a lot of work for the Capital Times. She's written for the Isthmus. You could maybe call her Miss Madison. I don't know if she would like that or not, but you could try it. She joins us now, Victoria Davis, on the stream. Hi, Victoria.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. It's nice to put a face with a voice.
That's true.
Just a full disclosure, Victoria did an article on the show Nightlight that aired or that dropped probably late November, early December. You interviewed me, and that's how I got to know you. It was fun talking to you. I thought you'd make a great guest, so welcome to Nightlight.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, and thank you again for the article. It was very well done.
My pleasure.
Yeah. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. My husband and the baby are out temporarily, so we'll see how quiet the house stays.
When you say out, do you mean like asleep, or is it like
night out? They're having a father-daughter night out. So they're out on the town. They'll be back around sometime, maybe middle of the show. But they said they're going to hang out in the basement, watch movies. So we'll see how it goes.
That is pretty cool. I don't want to make you nervous either. But if they're out, a guy with a baby, women love that. So check in.
I know.
Okay.
It's true. I know. It's true. I am my own worst enemy on that one, but that's okay. It was my idea.
You got the house yourself. That's not so bad either.
No, it's true.
All right. So this was interesting. You mentioned earlier when we were emailing back and forth about the fires in LA, and you said, did you want to talk a little bit about that? And we have a little bit on the show. I have family out there and friends, and it's just such a terrible situation. But you approached it from a different angle, a GoFundMe. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you introduced me. You know, I obviously, like you said, I've worked for the Cap Times here in Madison and the Isthmus. Still do. I also work for Animation World Network, which is based in Van Nuys, California. And we obviously, my job is to do animation reporting there. So we've worked with people at DreamWorks and Nickelodeon and Disney and kind of all the big wigs. And we, in response to the fires, someone geniusly had created a kind of master link to all of the GoFundMes that were created by animators who were affected by the fire. So we have that link upload onto our highlight in Instagram on our account for AWN, for Animation World Network. You can go on Instagram and find it. You can also go on our Facebook and find it. Just kind of a heads up for anybody that wants to contribute and help these animators kind of get back on their feet, especially, you know, losing equipment, losing your home offices. It's going to take some time to kind of get back into the swing of things.
So say that the places where people can go for information again, just so they have it.
Right.
And maybe we could put that Conrad on the stream.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can go to, so the Instagram is Animation World Network. And then the Facebook is also Animation World Network.
Okay. That's great. You know, it's so, it's interesting because so many people are doing so many things. It's, if there is a silver lining in this, it's nice that people are coming together and trying to help other people that are losing their livelihoods or at least going to be put on hold for a very long time. Because like you said, mm-hmm. people that lose home offices or equipment or anything like that, it's just devastating. So kudos to you for being involved with that. Do you, it's funny you say this too, because when my son was born, we lived in the Valley Village area of Los Angeles, right next to Studio City in North Hollywood. And I would take mm-hmm. him walking in the baby Bjorn. And I walked past this kind of this very basic office building and that all these pictures of Homer Simpson on the window and Bart Simpson and Lisa. And I'm like, what the heck is this? And as it turns out, that's where they animated The Simpsons. And I just got the biggest kick out of that. Like, I'm like, I can't believe that all happens right here.
Yeah.
How knowledgeable. How knowledgeable about animation are you? I know you've dabbled it's, or did you actually, was that your job or?
No, I was never an animator.
Okay.
Some people have asked me that as well and I'm flattered, but that is not one of my skill sets. But I got hired by my editor, Dan Sarto. I got hired onto Animation World Network in, I believe it was 2020, so like right when the pandemic had started. And it's just been a learning curve ever since. Basically, the first animation article I wrote.
Do we lose Victoria?
I think, yeah.
Might have been maybe a bad connection or something. Oh, there you are, Victoria. You cut out just for a little bit there. Oh, I don't think we have her.
Oh, am I back?
You're back now. We missed you. It's good to have you back.
Thank you. I was basically just saying that when I first began, it was a bit of a learning curve and had to learn on the job, essentially what all the jargon was. And I think I've gotten pretty good at it now.
You can at least sound like you know what you're talking about. That's very important, right?
Right. Exactly.
So tell us, we've got about a minute and a half till we have to do a break and we can dive into more of what you do at the Cap Times and what you're writing about. But give us a little bit about your background, like what brought you to writing and how did you end up in Madison?
It is a funny story. My husband and I got married very early. That was not the plan, but it was what it was. And because he was a Marine and I was in school and someone was like, maybe, because he was about to get deployed and someone's like, you know, maybe it's better if you're together rather than flying out once a month. Like, you know, and they were correct. So you just make the most of what you got, what time you got. And and so we ended up getting married and I flew out there. I transferred schools and ended up in probably one of the best journalism programs I could have asked for at Point Loma Nazarene University.
Yeah.
And just learning from people that had worked at NBC San Diego, at New York Times, at CNN, visiting Tijuana and meeting the journalists there. It was an incredible school. And when my husband left the military, he wanted to go to UW-Madison. So that's what brought us out here.
Oh, nice.
And
let's pick up right there. Yep. All right. Cause it sounds like you've had some really, a really cool background that led you into journalism. We'll have more with Victoria Davis after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me.
Eagle 1490 AM. ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Special counsel Jack Smith saying in his final report that was released overnight investigating soon-to-be president again Donald Trump, that Trump would have been convicted if the voters had not returned Trump to the White House. And further, says ABC's Richard Cantu,
Smith reiterates that he wouldn't have brought the case if he didn't think he'd win a conviction. In a letter accompanying the report, Smith calls laughable Trump's baseless attacks on the federal prosecutors who brought two criminal cases against him.
Smith says the evidence shows that Trump used lies as a weapon in his attempt to overturn the 2020 election. The president-elect, in an overnight social media post, calls Jack Smith a, quote, lame brain. Santa Ana winds are kicking up again in Southern California. Additional water tankers and scores of fresh firefighters have arrived in the Los Angeles area to help out with the wildfires. The Los Angeles Rams winning their playoff game against the Vikings last night in a game that had to be moved because of the flames. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Badgers could make history tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team has been around since 1898. And in that time, only three head coaches, Bud Forrester, Doc Meanwell, and Bull Ryan, had 200 or more career victories. If the Badgers beat Ohio State tonight at the Kohl Center, head coach Greg Gard would become the fourth. Gard's overall record stands at 199 and 110. Just one win away from 200, the Badgers are back in the top 25, ranked 24th in the nation. In the NFL, the Minnesota Vikings eliminated from the playoffs after losing to the Rams 27-9 on Monday Night Football. In Green Bay, a frustrated Tucker Kraft was asked what will he remember about this Packers season as he cleaned out his locker.
We couldn't finish. That's what I think of this team. We're all sitting in here in this locker room with frowns on our faces, people packing their shit up, ready to go home. Yeah. People talking about the offseason vacations, and we should be getting ready to play the next game in the postseason. That's my opinion on it.
That's Packers tight end Tucker Kraft with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The show must go on. Despite wildfires continuing to burn, production will start up again in Los Angeles. After being put on hold last week, Variety reports that shows like Jimmy Kimmel Live, NCIS Origins, and The Neighborhood will resume production. Other shows like Hacks, Suits LA, Ted, and Amazon's Fallout have not resumed production after being affected last week. Hollywood continues to rally around the victims of the LA fires. The latest organization to donate money is the Screen Actors Guild and American Federation of TV and Radio Artists. SAG-AFTRA had closed its offices due to the fires, which started January 7th. The union also postponed its in-person award nominating ceremony. SAG-AFTRA president, actress Fran Drescher, offered support to victims and those who have lost their homes and announced her union would donate $1 million to victims through the SAG-AFTRA Foundation. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is cold out there this morning with a wind chill hovering around minus 20, and we're going to keep that wind chill either side of zero for a good chunk of the day today. Sunshine, our actual high 13 today. Tonight, mostly clear, 2 above tomorrow, mostly sunny and warmer with a high near 25. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
The temperature now is zero.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 2 o'clock, I address whether the January 6th committee destroyed evidence. You know, that little tidbit that's been flying around the MAGAverse. It ain't true. We discuss.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
There's a problem with ever
Schwab. This is Nightlight. Turning to the stream, we have texts from when Jordan was here. Cap Jax, if that is your real name, says, I'm learning feels... good? Yes. Cap Jax brought up his own topic, asked his own question, and answered it. That is my kind of text. He also says, MKE to the freaking moon. Big time Milwaukee fan there. We're covering Wisconsin's two biggest cities tonight with Jordan Tresky. And now Victoria Davis joins me on the stream. She writes for the Capital Times, and she is also an award-winning freelance writer. You were talking a little bit, Victoria, before the news about your time in Southern California and the background and the training you had to become a journalist. And it sounds like it really prepared you for this line of work.
Yeah, it did. But I mean, as I think a lot of people that are in any kind of creative fields, you know, you get as prepared as you think you could possibly get. And then you get to trying to apply for full-time jobs, and that just gets, you know, you hear the ever, no, sorry.
Yeah.
And I got really good advice from someone who actually rejected me for a job. And I said, well, what would you suggest I do? Because all of it was the same. It was, we need more experience. And she said, just start planting seeds and see what grows, which was fantastic advice. And that's how I became a freelance journalist. And then ended up being the best thing ever. I got to write arts and culture for the Isthmus. I wrote food for the Cap Times. And then I did arts and entertainment for AWN. It was it was kind of a dream.
So, all right. I want to start there. I'm fascinated, and we haven't talked about it hardly at all on this show. We do have Arthur Ersink on the show Thursday, who created Wisconsin Foodie. He's been on the show before, but other than that, I don't think we've really done a deep dive on food. So You write about food. I find that interesting. What are your qualifications? Honest to God, and I don't mean that in a...
Being hungry?
So you starve yourself, you go to a restaurant, you eat a free meal, and you write an article.
We do a nice fast the day before. Yeah, it's a good time.
That sounds, and you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if that is how you prepare. Like, how do you write about food? Do you have to have chef-type knowledge, or do you just go, I like this? I mean, I wouldn't even know where to start.
I think you just have to be curious. You have to know what questions to ask. I think that that's, I had written about food at different internships that I'd had in San Diego. And San Diego was a great place to learn about good food. So that was the other great thing, is coming from there to San Diego, or coming from San Diego to Madison. You learn about really good food. And we've got some really good Mexican food here in Madison. We've got really good Asian food. And that's a huge staple in San Diego as well. So that prepared me a bit. But honestly, just being curious about what they're making. Like, if you're approaching it like someone who's just fascinated by food and desperate to learn what makes it special, desperate to learn people's backstories about how they got into food, because that's a lot of what I do too, is it's not just, you know, we're not reviewing the food, we're learning why these people are making it in the first place.
So, but when you eat it, are you breaking down the taste, what you like about it? Like, I feel like, I feel like I would never be, like, I've eaten in my share of nice restaurants, but I don't know if I'd be any more qualified. You know, like, a lot of film critics tried to make films. They have some knowledge, you know, whatever, but food just baffles me. So how do you go about that? Let's say you have a great steak and a nice potato. Mm-hmm. How are you breaking that down? The steak was good.
Good steak and potatoes.
It was juicy, or what, you know?
Yeah. Like, how it's seasoned. Like, how is it seasoned? How do you cook it? How long? What? Because, like, some people like their steak bleeding. Some people like it dry as the desert.
Yeah.
And I think asking people, how do you find that nice line that invites everybody in, so everybody wants a bite of the steak?
Yeah.
A lot of it's seasoning. That's, like, my favorite question to ask people is, how do you season it? What do you season it with? Because some people have really funny home tricks that they don't. They don't always share it with me, but sometimes they have good tricks up their sleeve, and that's the best stuff.
Because it's funny, that the meat or protein, whether it's fish, chicken, steak, it's all bland without whatever you put on it. Like, the sides are always tastier until you actually season or marinate something. And that would probably be the only thing I would be qualified to ask, because I'd say, did you put wishbone Italian dressing on? Like, what?
Exactly. Well, I'll give you a really good example, actually, with an article I have actually coming up.
Oh, cool.
A good example of my favorite kind of things to write about with the Cap Times is I'm doing an article on this vegan bakery, and it's 1146 Vegan. And she was telling me how she makes her own vanilla. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. And she says, yeah, it's I've never heard this phrase in my life. She goes, it's beaver butt juice free. I'm like, what? I need you to say that again and explain to me exactly what you're talking about.
And thank God. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, yeah, I'm relieved, first of all, but also what? And I guess that's a way that it's like a cheap way to get a vanilla flavor. And I haven't Googled this extensively yet because I'm writing the article this week, but that's a really good example of like the things that you learn talking to people and how they make their own stuff and why they make their own stuff. Because apparently people are out there squeezing beaver butts to get vanilla flavoring, which is just disturbing. So, I mean, that's kind of the underbelly of writing about food.
The ugly side.
Yeah, exactly.
It's completely inappropriate too. I mean, let's be honest. What do you have a favorite food you like to write about?
I do love writing. I mean, anything with the bakeries I love because, I mean, you get to eat cake for your job. I mean, there's very few things that are better than that. I do love writing about like anything with pasta or noodles, because it's really fun getting to watch people make it.
Yeah.
And kind of learning all the techniques. And the same goes for alcohol. Like when you're writing about different, alcohol companies, learning how they make things. Like I did an article on Black Rose, blending here in Madison. And they were experimenting with different barrels that had different flavorings that were already stuck in the barrel when they were making their beers.
Oh, nice.
So learning about that whole fermentation process. Yeah. So I'd say alcohol, pasta, and bakery. the winning trifecta.
That sounds like a nutty night out on the town. That sounds great.
Yeah, sometimes it is.
What do you do when you have let's say you don't like what you've been served. And let's say it's awful. I remember when I was a comedian, I was working at the Laugh Factory outside Chicago, and this guy just opened up a restaurant, and he looked like the least ethnic person ever. He looked whiter than me, and he said, it was an Italian restaurant, and he said, well, I'm really proud of my sauces. You got to try my sauces. So he brings me this plate. It was the most bland food I've ever. I'm like, this is what you're banking on? And he was out of business within 6 months. Like, what do? You don't want to hurt anybody's livelihood, but how do you approach that if food just isn't good?
And that's where I think we lean into more of the backstory of a person.
Yeah.
I've been, I think, fortunate. I mean, truly, and I'm not blowing smoke. I've come across service that's a little questionable where you're waiting a long time for things. And you're wondering how good it's going to be. And it's been incredible. So I've been very fortunate that there is nothing that I've tasted so far that I haven't I'm knocking, knock on wood, because now I've jinxed myself. But I've had it where you're kind of, you walk in and you're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And you're not really sure what you're going to ask. Like if there wasn't a lot of research I could do beforehand, if they just didn't have a huge presence on the internet before.
Yeah.
And you're kind of winging it. That can be a bit scary, but so far I've only had good experiences.
Do you ever get embarrassed to ask for the salt?
yes, I do, because my husband's also, he loves to cook. I think if he hadn't gone into the Marines, he would have gone to Le Cordon Bleu.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He and his whole family love to cook. Actually, he and his brother are both major cooks, and me and the sister-in-law don't go near the kitchen, which is ironic because of what I write about. It's, he's told me how much of an insult it is to ask for salt. So I get nervous.
It's like,
for sure.
I either have to enjoy this or, you know, like at a restaurant, especially, it's like, I'm not paying $100 to be depressed, right? Give me the damn salt. My guest is Victoria Davis. She writes for the Capital Times, and she's an award-winning freelance writer. She writes about food, theater, the arts, kind of covers it all. All right, one more food question for you, then I want to move on to like some entertainment stuff, but not that food isn't entertainment, but is there a restaurant in Madison or in Wisconsin where when you think of it and you're hungry, your mouth literally starts to water?
Oh my God. There's so many. I've gotten the privilege of interviewing so many people.
Or type of food. You can go that route too.
You know what? Yes, there. This is weird because I am not a I am not an escargot. You know, if you were to say, "Oh, what are you really craving today?" Snails would not be at the top of the
Ooh,
list.
Wow! Yeah.
I did an article on this restaurant in Madison. The name is escaping me, which I'm embarrassed to say. I will look it up and get it to you before the end of the show. Right. But they had incredible escargot.
Really?
So much so that I couldn't, I wanted seconds. And Cap Times was paying, so I didn't ask for seconds, but it was, I quickly went back afterwards with my husband for a date night. Cause it was so good. They just doused, it was so much butter and so much garlic and quite a bit of salt.
Wow.
And it was delicious. So that's I think the first thing that really comes to mind, which is crazy. But yeah, I will get the name of that.
You can never have enough garlic for me. I will eat when I say extra garlic, and I'll say to the waitress, whatever you're thinking is extra garlic, double that, and then double that. You know. But there's a couple places in Madison, Maharini once I went into, and I couldn't even, I was drooling. Like I felt like a dog. Like I went in there and I was so hungry and the food is so good. It's just certain foods do that to you.
It's true.
What is new in the, entertainment? What's going on in Madison culturally that you could recommend? Like whether it's theater or the independent film scene, have you written about any of that stuff recently?
It's funny, the film scene I haven't gotten a chance to write about because I was deep in the art, the sort of the visual arts, like the theater and music, when I started out with Isthmus, and kind of miscellaneous events going on as well. And around the time that I started, quite a lot of theaters and independent film festival stuff was closing.
Oh, right.
You know, and that was really tragic, and I was really upset about that. But we are very fortunate in Madison that there's such an abundant theater community, and that we have multiple theaters. Obviously, there's the large Orpheum, but then you've got the Bartel as well. We have a really cool hub for that here. And I'm actually, on Friday this week, I'm actually going to review a play I believe it's Spring Green or Green Spring. Hang on.
Is it American Players? American Players, maybe?
It's the, they're doing Henry Clark. It's a one-man show. And I'm trying to remember the name of the... it's Two Crows. Two Crows is putting on kind of their rendition of the one man play, Harry Clark, which actually was first done by Billy Crudup.
Crudup, yeah.
From Big Fish. Right. And so that's at the Slowpoke Lounge and Cabaret. So I'm going there on Friday to review that, which I'm really excited about. But then we've also got a really cool comedy scene as well here in Madison.
Yeah,
that's another
for sure.
thing that I tend to get drawn toward, and sometimes they go hand in hand. You get comedies and improv shows.
Listen, you could probably mix and match food reviews with a theater review, like, oh, it was a juicy steak of a burger.
I could really sink my teeth into this one.
All right, we'll have a couple more minutes with Victoria Davis after a very short break. Great to have you with me on this Monday night on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio. The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
yes,
can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt Nair on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Tomorrow night on Nightlight, I welcome Sherry Stoka, nutritionist, a Milwaukee-based nutritionist. We'll talk to her about, I guess we are talking about food more on the show, because we have Arthur Ersink from Wisconsin Foodie here on Thursday. Apparently, this is all of a sudden the Food Network Congress. I almost called you Congress. We could add that to the list.
Night food or?
Night food.
Food light?
Yeah, sure. And then Eric and Adam are here from Ask Your Mother tomorrow night. They're going to rock the studio on Wednesday night. Director Anders Lindell, who made the film Green and Gold with Brandon Sklenar and Craig T. Nelson, will be on the show at 7:20. So fun guests this week here on Nightlight, and hope you can join us. We on the stream, Elizabeth says, and double that garlic. So I don't know how you feel about garlic, Victoria, but garlic has its fans. I can't
can never have enough.
I agree.
Can never have enough. Also, the restaurant is Lalonde. That's the restaurant. Yes.
I've heard of that.
If you're going to Lalonde, even if you have never tried escargot and snails or even have tried bad escargot and snails, redeem your experience at Lalonde.
Okay.
It's so good.
It's been a while for me. I go down there about once a month for my PBS gig, so I'll probably actually check that out.
Definitely.
Tom from New Berlin says, way to pull up classic REM. Oh, he liked your intro and outro music, Conrad. Well done.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, guys. And I got a text from Steady Eddie, but it's like as long as a newspaper article. And I know that Victoria only has the house to herself for a limited amount of time tonight. So all right, Victoria, you had the opportunity, I saw in your bio, to interview Angela Kinsey, who played Angela from The Office. We talk about movies and TV a lot on this show. What kind of questions did you ask her, and how was that interview? Was that fun?
That was fun. That I had done for, there was a kind of a third party, because I was working for Hidden Remote at the time, and there was a third party that was like, we'll give you this interview. But there was other stuff that they were kind of advertising at the same time. So I got like 5 minutes to talk to her. But she was lovely. And that was many years ago. So I'm struggling to remember. I do remember we talked about, her kids, which I think is such a fun thing. I've had really good experiences ever since that was before I became a mom, but from that point to especially now, talking with celebrities about their kids is like one of the greatest things in the world, and they just open up to you about it. Like, it's everyone wants to talk about their kids no matter what job you got. That
Great
seems
point.
To be the fun one that everyone really enjoys. So she was talking about her kids, That interview is actually on my website if people wanted to go check it out.
Oh, very cool. And that's so true. Like when, you know, they've heard all the questions about, you know, show business and this, and they can almost be a little guarded, but when you steer them towards something that is a more universal experience, that's really interesting observation. Mm-hmm. And you also wrote about Amanda Brinkman and Ty Pennington from the Small Business Revolution.
Yes.
That's important to me because they were in Marinette several years ago, where I live now, and they were considering Marinette to be a show that they show a town that they showcased on the Small Business Revolution. Ultimately, you know, they came to town. They seemed pretty cool, but they had this big reception. Seemed genuine, but what did you think about? Was your experience with them good? Positive?
They were awesome. And yeah, they had such a great dynamic. I remember laughing a lot talking with them, which is such a fun thing. And I talked to them twice, for two seasons, I believe. I believe it was season one and season two. And they were just having a good time, excited to talk to me. I had a similar experience when I interviewed the Critical Role people. Just, they were having fun. And that's nice. The best kind of interviews is when it's two friends sitting in the same place talking to an interviewer. I mean, with our interview too, it was just like a conversation. And that's honestly what I try to do as much as possible.
You mean
just,
you and me?
Yeah.
When
yeah.
You did the article.
When
yeah.
You and I, yeah. When you and I talked, it was very much a conversation.
Right.
And that's, sometimes you get limited time. You get 5 minutes and you have to kind of bullet point your questions. But sometimes it just flows really well. I remember laughing a lot in that interview.
Yeah. And it's interesting you say that because I agree. I think you said I need 15 minutes or something. We ended up talking for like well over a half an hour. yeah, exactly. And then we went bowling. We joined a social club. But anyway,
right,
it was, yeah, I agree. And it's fun when you connect, and especially on the radio, I do this a lot. And then I'm up against commercial breaks and I'm like, oh, I'm really enjoying this interview. But that's good to know about them because they were in Marinette and everybody liked them. But when Marinette didn't get chosen, some people were kind of like, well, they were so nice to our family. I'm like, there was 10 other cities. Like,
would you rather they be mean to you?
Right? I mean, they don't like you personally.
I know, that's the hard part about this.
So, Victoria, we have about a minute left. Are you watching anything you could recommend? Binge watching anything? Seen anything in the theaters?
I just finished watching. It's a funny recommendation, kind of out of the blue, but it's on Netflix. It's a Korean, South Korean drama called "It's Okay to Not Be Okay." And it's a very fascinating, it's live action, but it's got a lot of good animation kind of woven into it. And it talks about mental disabilities, trauma, relationships within, you know, having mental disabilities and trauma. And it's fascinating. And if we want to tie that back to Madison, if people want to go watch that show and then listen to people talk about the same subjects here in Madison, at the Gamma Ray Bar, Nate Chapel, I believe that's how you pronounce his last name, is gathering an all autistic slate of comedians to debunk misconceptions about autism, which is exactly what that show talks about. So go see that show and then pop some popcorn and watch It's Okay to Not Be Okay on Netflix, because then you're in for a wild night.
That is a that is worth two recommendations. That's outstanding. Hey, this was fun, Victoria. Let's do this more often. It was great having you on. Enjoy the last of your quiet time.
Thank you so much, Pete.
Daddy daughter night ends, but that's sounds like you got a good thing going there. Thanks so much and have a great night.
Thank you. You as well.
You're welcome. Steady Eddie. Oh my gosh, we got to get to Steady Eddie. He says, "Hi Pete. I remember the Bucks in their beginning and I was big into basketball and I love the Bucks. The Bucks radio play-by-play guy had nicknames for the Bucks players like the Cement Maker, Mixer, the Greyhound, Cowboy, Gentleman John, the Electric Eye, King Kareem. I myself did some serious balling back then. Sometimes I'll tell you and your listeners about my perfect game in the hardwoods. On one magical day, I was 5 for 5 from the field." We're not going to finish this, are we? We're going to leave the show tomorrow night with Steady Eddie's text. We ran out of time. I'm sorry, Steady Eddie. This is a gem, though. I'm going to start tomorrow night's show with this. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Good night, Wisconsin.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, our colleague Jimmy Cuska joins us to talk about potential changes within Wisconsin sports. Not everybody's happy. And how much money are we spending already on that Wisconsin Supreme Court race? Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Department of Justice has made public the final report by Special Counsel Jack Smith on his election interference case against Donald Trump. It says that Trump used lies as a weapon in trying to overturn the 2020 election and says ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
The Special Counsel making it clear he believes prosecutors had enough evidence to convict Trump and maintained his investigation was free of interference or influence from political actors, the Justice Department, or anyone else. That prosecutors had evidence to prove that the 2020 election was not stolen despite Trump's repeated allegations to the contrary.
Trump responding on social media overnight, calling Jack Smith a lame brain prosecutor and saying, quote, the voters have spoken. As the Santa Ana winds pick up again in Los Angeles, raising the risk of more fires, some landlords are being investigated for price gouging as people whose homes have been destroyed search for someplace to live, several arrests for looting as well. This is ABC News.